So today we're carrying on with our theme of new beginnings. And this morning we're going to be thinking about Joseph and how Joseph found his new beginning. So before we hear our Bible reading, there's a couple of things that I wanted you to know. Joseph came from an absolutely enormous family. I wonder if anyone can tell me how many brothers Joseph had. Ellie knows, she was at the last service. How many? 11 brothers, that's right. 10 older brothers and one younger brother. His dad was called Jacob and his mum was called Rachel. But out of all of those brothers, Joseph had always been his dad's favourite. That blue-eyed boy, the miracle child, born to Rachel late in life, when everyone thought all hope was lost and there was never going to be a child. So right from being a baby, he was dad's favourite. And you can imagine how all those brothers felt about that. And what made it even worse was that Jacob didn't even try to hide it. He gave Joseph a beautiful coat, a coat of many different colours with long sleeves, something so grand that you could see right away that the person wearing that coat wasn't going to be helping with the washing up. The person wearing that coat wasn't going to be out in the fields looking after the sheep and working hard. The person wearing that coat probably thought he was a prince. Can you imagine how the brothers felt about that? And there's no doubt that Joseph was special. And that became clear when he started to have strange dreams. Dreams that suggested that one day he'd be a very important person. You can imagine how his brothers felt. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of new beginnings. And as we think about this story today, we pray that you would help us to see the many ways in which you are faithful to us and help us always to trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Joseph has been on quite a journey. We've already heard about his enormous and complicated family life. We've heard about his brothers and how much they hated him, especially when he was given the present of the multicolored coat. We've heard about how his brothers threw him into a dry well, thinking that they could get rid of him, and how, just as they were thinking about actually killing their own brother, a gang of traders came by and they decided to sell him as a slave instead. And on the DVD, we've seen how he arrived into Egypt and was sold as a slave, ending up in Potiphar's house. And we saw how hard he was working, cleaning that floor and trying to make everything shiny and new. And we weren't the only people who noticed that Joseph was a very hard worker. Potiphar noticed too. And soon Joseph was promoted and became the household manager. So it looked as if things were starting to go right for him. But then there was a misunderstanding, and before he knew it, he was thrown into prison. So once again, it looked as if all was lost. But while he was in prison, Joseph met some interesting people. And one of those was Pharaoh's wine taster. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was so worried that somebody might try and poison him that he had somebody whose job it was to taste his wine before he took a sip. Anyway, the wine taster had got into trouble in the royal palace and had ended up in prison. And one day he'd had a very strange dream which he didn't understand. So he asked Joseph to interpret it for him. Joseph explained what it meant, and it was good news for the wine taster. He got out of prison and was able to go back to the palace. But once he got there, he forgot all about Joseph. So for 2 years, this strange young man with his ability to interpret dreams was just sitting there in prison and no one gave him a thought. But then, 2 years on, and Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, starts to have a strange dream of his own. In this dream, there are 7 really skinny cows and 7 fat cows. And the 7 skinny cows eat the fat cows. Then he dreamt again. There were 7 withered ears of grain that were all dried up and useless, and 7 fat ears of grain. And the withered ears ate up the fat ears. And this wasn't just a dream that he could forget about. This dream haunted Pharaoh, and he had no idea what it meant. And even though he employed people in his court whose job it was to interpret the signs and understand dreams, none of them knew what it meant either. It was driving Pharaoh round the bend. But then the wine taster remembered. He remembered that young man in prison. He remembered Joseph. And he said, "Pharaoh, I know just the man who can help you." He told Pharaoh that Joseph would need to be fetched from the prison to help. So Joseph went straight from prison to the royal courts. And he listened to Pharaoh in the dream, and he said, "This is what it means. There are going to be 7 years of good harvests, followed by 7 years of famine." And he said to Pharaoh, "What you need to do is during those 7 years of good harvests, make sure that you store lots of grain so that you can feed the people when the hard years come." So Pharaoh knew this wasn't just a man who could interpret dreams. This was a man who gave wise advice. And over time, Joseph became a very important man in the Egyptian court. He was almost like the prime minister. And it was his job to make sure that all the grain was stored away so that when the famine came, as come it did, there'd be plenty of food to feed the people. When the famine came, it was so severe that people came from countries far and wide and made the journey to Egypt to ask for help. So lots of people came and asked Joseph for help. But one day, a group came along who were a little bit different. 10 men. 10 men who only spoke Hebrew. Who could they be? Joseph realized straight away these were the brothers who'd done their best to do him down. But they, looking up at this Egyptian prime minister figure, they had no idea who he was. It certainly wouldn't have occurred to them that their annoying little brother could have risen to a position like that. And before they knew it, the brothers were bowing down in front of Joseph, just in the way that Joseph's dream had predicted. Joseph was pleased to see his brothers, but more than anything, he wanted to see his youngest brother Benjamin again. So he said to the brothers, "Look, I'll give you grain, but you need to go home and bring Benjamin back." So the brothers went home. They went back to Jacob, their father, and together they ate all the grain. And when it was gone, they realized, "We've got to go back to Egypt, and we've got to take Benjamin." They didn't want to. They were worried about what would happen if Benjamin got lost on the way. How would Jacob react? But they knew they had no choice. And this time, the brothers were received in Joseph's house and invited to a great feast. The next day, their donkeys were loaded up with food, and they were happily planning their trip home when Joseph suddenly announced that his own precious silver cup had gone missing. The cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Joseph appeared to be furious. He demanded that the one who had the cup should stay in Egypt and become his slave. The other brothers were horrified. What would Jacob say? How would Jacob feel to lose another beloved son? And so Judah jumped in and said, "Look, Joseph, I'll stay. I'll do anything you want. I'll be your slave. But you must let this one go. Long ago, our father lost his son Joseph, and it broke his heart. And I can't bear to see my father's heart broken again." And when Judah said those words, Joseph couldn't hold back any longer. He spoke to his brothers in Hebrew, in their own language. He explained to them that although they had done something very, very wrong when they tried to kill him and sold him into slavery, God had used those events in a good way. Because of what they had done, Joseph had ended up in Egypt, and now he was in a position to support his whole family. So then he said, "Go home, tell my father about me, and then come back with the entire household, and you'll have as much to eat and drink as you want." And so it came to pass that the wrong done to Joseph and his father Jacob was finally put right. After 20 years apart, they met again and were able to embrace one another. The long, long years of separation were over. But more than that, the bitterness and hardness of heart which had caused Joseph's brothers to turn against him had been healed too. And Joseph was also able to forgive his brothers, and their family life together had a whole new beginning. Nobody was talking about the miracle child anymore. Nobody was talking about the special coat. But all of them knew that their love for each other and their love for God was what sustained them. So what does all of that mean to us? To us here in Middlesbrough? Well, today we're talking about new beginnings. And when we look at the story of Joseph, we can see that again and again, God gives him a chance to start over. He got sold into slavery, but then he got a really good job. He got thrown into prison, but his ability to interpret dreams got him out again. He lost his entire family, and then miraculously they come to him without even knowing who he is. And perhaps the greatest miracle of all of those involved in this story of betrayal and of hatred and of all sorts of difficult things, somehow managed to forgive each other and to make a new start. Perhaps that's what we can learn from this story. If we get ourselves stuck in situations and can't see a way out, if we find ourselves caught up in bitterness or jealousy, or struggling to repair a relationship with others who don't seem interested in reconciling with us, situations like that can be incredibly complicated, and I don't want to suggest that there are easy answers. But I would say that as we share the story of Joseph, and as we think about our own stories and our own families, we can see that God is faithful. And he has a way of redeeming situations where we thought that all was lost. God is a God who works in and with our messy families and our messy lives. Let's trust him to guide us in finding the ways forward that seek to honor him. Amen.